are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. The title of my message today is Let Your Light Shine. Let your light shine. Praise God. Amen. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word today, and we just pray that it would be effectual and that it would be a word that is given in season. And even though we may ourselves be a little bit out of sorts, that it, even out of season, that the word would be effective to serve the people, to nourish the people, to challenge the people, to reprove and to rebuke and to exhort them with all long suffering, that they will feel built up, straightened out, and ready for the next phase of the journey. In Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. I told Brother Stacy before he started leading worship, I said, Brother, you get the clothespins out and you hang them up on the line and you roll them out until they're flapping in the breeze. And I said, you just leave them out there and let them flap in the breeze for a while. And I said, when they look like they're getting dry, I said, you pull them back in and you pop the clothespins and throw them in the basket, and I'll iron out the wrinkles. Hallelujah. Can I preach for a minute today? Will that be all right? There's a mind of God, a mind of God's spirit, a will of God, a word that's coming to the church here at this moment. Brother Stacy stood up in the pulpit. The first 5 seconds he was up there, he hit the nail square center and drove it down deep. And so I want to just get the nails that he missed and make sure that they're all driven down and nothing's sticking up before we leave the house of God. We are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. We are the church. Jesus said we are a city. And we are the government that represents Jesus Christ on the earth. In Mark chapter 16 and verse 15, Jesus commanded his disciples, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. We are the light of the world. Amen. Hallelujah. And Jesus said that lights are for shining, they're not for hiding. Hallelujah. Oh, we live in a dark world. Yeah? So what?
That's right.
Why don't you shut up and do something about it?
Amen.
Lights are for shining. Lights are for driving back the darkness.
Yes.
It may be dark in your world, but it's not dark in mine.
Hallelujah.
It may be dark in your church, but it's not dark in mine.
Amen.
It may be dark in your house, in your heart, or in your mind, but it's not dark in mine, because mine is full of light.
Amen.
It is full of truth. It is full of the good story about our Savior, Jesus Christ, coming and dying on a cross of Calvary, and after 3 days, arising from the grave victoriously over Satan and over death and hell, and arising into heaven and pouring out the gift of the Holy Ghost upon all flesh. I'll tell you what the problem is today. The church is the light of the world, but but somebody pulled a candlestick out of the holder. Amen. The church is the light of the world, but somebody let the oil run out. Right. The church is the light of the world. What's wrong with our country that we think that, when did we begin to think that it was okay to pull a child out of its mother's womb and stab a pair of scissors into the back of its neck and yet complain and cry when we want to take a serial killer and kill him? What's wrong with the world that we live in? We're living in a dark world. I'll tell you why the world is so dark. Hallelujah, it's because the church has let the lights go out. I'll tell you what's wrong. Supplant, amen, our habits and our practices, and we no longer meditate on His Word day and night. We no longer hide His Word in our hearts so that we might not sin against Him, but we meditate upon sins. We worship the idols of this world, and we push God to the side, and we forget about Him, and the church grows dim, and the light goes out, and the world goes to hell in a handbasket. It's time for the church, amen, to stop hiding their lights under a lampshade or a basket. It's time for the church to stop hiding. God didn't send you into the world to be a shadow. He sent you into the world to shine the light of truth in every dark corner that you find.
Amen.
What's wrong with the church today? Why have we let the light go out? Oh, come on, church. Amen. It's time to stop whining about politicians, and you haven't been to the voting booth in decades. What's wrong with the world? I'll tell you what's wrong with the world. The church has stopped shining the light of truth.
Yes.
The last time I checked, the Ten Commandments was on the wall of the United States Supreme Court. When did the church sit back and say there's nothing we can do about it? And when did the church step out and say that the forces of darkness are too strong for us? When did they stop believing that greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world? When did our faith get so weak that we couldn't even believe God for the little things that happen anymore? And we sit in dark churches, and we sit in faithless, feeble prayer closets and prayer rooms. We are what's wrong with the United States of America. We are what's wrong with the world today. If the church would stand up and proclaim the gospel of Jesus, if the church would stand up. I was at a funeral yesterday, and I was listening to the preacher preach, and he said that I felt bad. I was telling this man about Jesus Christ, and he said I felt like I was pushing it on him and bothering him with it, and he apologized for bringing Jesus up all the time. And the man looked at him and he said, I want you to tell me about Jesus. When the world is not, amen, they don't hate Jesus, they don't hate God, but they are living, amen, under the cruel bondage of the god of this world. And the whole world that we live in lies in wickedness, John said. But we have, amen, the King Jesus living inside of us. And what the world wants to hear about is not more bad news. The churches have become a place where the light has gone out.
Yes, Lord. Right.
And the message is, there is no light. The message is, there is no light. The message is, there is no hope. The message is, the end is coming. The end is near. There is no more revival. There is no more miracle. There is no more healing. There is no more grace. There is no more favor. But everything is doom and gloom, and it's the end of the world as we know it. You better check your calendar. Amen. The last time I looked in the Jewish calendar, it was year 5778. If their calendar is any indication of God's time frame, it could be another 200 years before Jesus comes back. I don't care if you believe my theology or not. I bet I've got more Bible to back mine up than you've got to back up your dark, amen, deceived ideas that the devil has sown into your mind as you sit in darkness, prayerlessness, faithless, and making statement after statements of doubt and defeat. It's time for the church to stop hiding. It's time for the church to stop covering. And it's time for the church to let its light shine. Hallelujah. Said, oh, sorry, sir. I do not work on Sunday. We live in a day and a time where the church is rampant. Amen. With a lack of commitment and loyalty to the kingdom of God. We live in a day and a time where people are more worried about the bill collector than they are about the soul collector. We live in a day and a time where people are more worried about disease and sickness than they are about the healer. Hallelujah. They are more worried about this, that, and the other. And they give themselves, and they give themselves, and they give their power away. They give their faith away. They give their life away. They give their light away. Amen. We've got to let our light shine.
That's right.
I told my son, I said, when you get hired at Walmart, I said, you're going to write down on that paper. And I said, do not write down on that paper that you cannot work on Sunday. You can do anything that you want to do. But you write down on that paper, I can work every day but Sunday.
Amen.
That's right. Hallelujah. It's called letting your light shine. Sorry, sir. I do not work on Sunday. They told me when I worked at Aldi in Mount Vernon, everybody has to take a turn. Everybody's got to work on Sunday. And I looked at the lady that was telling me that, and I said, I'm not angry. I said, I understand what you're saying. You've got to do what you're told to do. And I looked her in the eye, and I said, I quit. And she looked at me, and she said, well, that's not what we're talking about. I said, that's all we're talking about here. I don't work on Sunday.
That's right.
I'm not going to work on Sunday. You can take this job, and you can carry it on with you to hell where you're headed. But I'm headed to church on Sunday.
Amen.
Oh, but you don't understand the economic climate that way. Let me tell you something. If every grocery store was shut down on Sunday, you learn to pick up your groceries on Saturday. If every retailer was closed on Sunday, you learn to go buy your new pair of shoes or socks or underwear, whatever you need, on Friday or Saturday. If every restaurant was closed down on Sunday, some of y'all would learn how to work a stove. Some of y'all would learn to work out to work a mixer. Hallelujah. But if every hospital was closed on Sunday, some of y'all might get your faith back and find out that the power is still in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Let the sinners work on Sunday. Let those who hate God and are designed and destined for eternal damnation work on Sunday. I'm not working on no Sunday. I love to talk about Chick-fil-A. I've never even eaten there before. But I like their economic policy. Amen. They are closed every single Sunday of the year. Hallelujah. They are closed every major holiday of the year. And they make more money per unit than McDonald's, than Subway, than Starbucks. Yeah. If you combine all three, one Chick-fil-A makes more money than all three of those retailers put together. Hallelujah. We are too addicted. Still make a lot of money and be closed on Sunday. You can still be successful and put God first in your life. church has swallowed all these lies. Hallelujah. Politics and politics. Let me tell you something. The last time I read the Bible, amen, it was God that spoke to Moses on top of the mountain. He didn't talk to him. Oh, Moses, let's talk about our relationship. Oh, I love you so much, Moses. Let's be desperate. Let's just hang out together and let's cook up some pork burgers together. Let's go fishing together, Moses, you and me. We're just going to be the best of friends. Friend, he started laying down the law to Moses, and he delivered to Moses a form of government that has swept the continent, that there are nations upon top of nations that are built upon the law that God gave Moses on the top of Mount Sinai. Don't tell me that the church is not supposed to be involved in the government. I want to tell you something, friend. If you read your Bible and remember, the church is the government. It is the Word of God that rules our government and that gives us the laws of our land today. Oh, hallelujah. Y'all can get with it. Y'all can shut up. You can do whatever you're going to do today. You know, when I read my Bible, the Bible says that God took Joseph and he plucked him out of a pit and he plucked him out of a prison cell and he put him in a palace. He put him in a government and he became powerful so that he ruled over all of Egypt, and all the nations of the world came to him. When did we begin to believe, amen, that Christians have no place in the halls of government? When did we begin to believe that Christians have no place in the halls of educators? I was standing in the grade school last week listening at the music coming out of the gymnasium, and they were playing musical chairs, and I heard the music coming. Oh, when the saints go marching in, oh, when the saints go marching. And I thought, what in the world? Don't they know that government and church are supposed to be separated? No, they're not supposed to be separated. But it's because a church sat down like little crying little girls. No offense, ladies. Hallelujah, like crying little boys running to their mommies. And let the devil do whatever he wanted to do in the courts and in the law of our land. And now the church is woken up. God has set the light again. Amen. And there are people in government today. The last time I checked, God put a man named Daniel out of the exiles as a teenage boy. And he gave him authority and power and insight to multiple foreign pagan regimes. When I read my Bible, it tells me about Queen Esther and her uncle Mordecai, and they ruled the Persian Empire by the power of God. Because God is the governor of this world. God is the mayor of this city. God is the president of the United States of America. God is the chancellor of Germany. God is the prime minister of England. And God rules over the United Nations and over any other nation, whether it's communist, whether it's the religion of Islam. It does not matter. God rules. The last time I checked, even the Bible tells us that the house of Caesar was full of converts to Christ. And at one point, the Christ followers took over the world. When did we lose the generation of the Apostle Paul's and become the generation of the Apostle Thomas's? When did we lose that generation that would stand before King Agrippa and that would stand before Bernice and that would stand before mighty men and witness to them? Jesus, of whom you are well aware, he came and he was persecuted and killed by the Jews, as you are well aware, and he was crucified by the Romans on a tree, and he was dead for 3 days. But God raised him up alive, on whom we have seen, and he appeared to me as one born out of due season. He spoke with me face to face, and I'm telling you, and the Bible says conviction fell on the king's heart, and he began to fret for his soul.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We are the light of the world, and it is our job to let our light shine. When the church falls away, and when the lights go out in the hearts, in the minds, in the pulpits, in the prayer closets, They call it the Dark Ages. How many of you have heard of the Dark Ages?
Yeah.
Who was in charge of the Dark Ages? Who was in charge of the Dark Ages? The church was in charge of the Dark Ages. Because the only way the light can go out in the world is if the church refuses to shine. We have become intransigent. We have become stiff-necked and rebellious. And we refuse to give glory to God. We refuse to bring His praise upon our lips out into this community and into the homes. We sit around and we pout. And we sit around and we worry about ourselves. And we have a pity party. And we focus all of our things on what we feel and what we think. And all of what's going to happen to me, 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 me. Hallelujah. There's only one thing about myself that I'm worried about. Am I becoming a man of God that can be an example to my wife? Am I becoming a man of God that can be an example to my children? Am I becoming a man of God that can be an example and pastor this church? Am I becoming a man of God that can be a light in the wider church of the world? And can I be a leader in this community? Oh yes. Amen. It's going to happen with one simple truth. I have got to let my light shine. Does anybody hear what this preacher is preaching today?
Yeah.
A sermon came to me during a time of season of rest. Hallelujah. I have a friend that prayed. We can sit around and complain. We can sit around in hopelessness. I have a friend that I prayed with. He's a tongue-talking believer. I don't want none of these people out there that don't know what the Holy Spirit is. Talk about Trinity this and Trinity that. They don't even know what the Holy Spirit is. The Holy Spirit is the power and the presence of God that comes down on us and quickens our mortal bodies and saves our eternal souls. And everything about us changes and is different. And we who once walked in darkness, begin to walk in His marvelous light. Give me men and women that know how to groan in the Holy Ghost, that know how to see in the Spirit with groanings that cannot be uttered. Don't give me some tepid, powerless, pompous teacher or theologian who can explain things in the Bible but has no idea what they're talking about. Have a godliness, but have never felt the power of the Holy Ghost in their soul. Who believe that God no longer does those things anymore. The last time I read the Bible, it said that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But doesn't it say in the Bible but that tongues will cease? And yes, it does. And that day has not arrived yet. It says knowledge will cease too. Does that mean that everybody sitting here is a dummy? Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. So don't tell me that tongues is just a gift that only some people get. Hallelujah. Because if you read your Bible, it says that faith is a gift too. Even the last time I checked, you can't be saved or find your way to Jesus without faith. Everybody got to have faith. Everybody got to have the Holy Ghost. Everybody needs to speak in tongues. Why wouldn't you? There's only one reason why you wouldn't want to speak in tongues. There's only one reason why you wouldn't want to shout praise to Jesus. There's only one reason why you wouldn't want to run the aisles and wave your arms and dance before Almighty King. David was the king. He didn't care what anybody said. He didn't care what anybody thought. Hallelujah. He took off his royal robes. Hallelujah. He began to dance before the Lord. The Bible says with all of his might he danced before the Lord. Hallelujah. The only reason why you wouldn't want to do that is because you let your light go out. The only reason why you wouldn't want to do that is because you got a big old basket and you're hiding what Jesus did for you. We were made for shining. It is our job. Shine. I'm not saying you're going to go up to to Springfield, standing up in behind the podium at the House of Representatives in Illinois State Legislature, and get up there and speak a tongue and act a fool. But what I am telling you is this: I can tell you that this weekend there was a man of God who lives in this community that is filled with the Holy Ghost, and we had prayed together and broke bread together, and we had spoken tongues together. And that man stood behind that podium and said the prayer to bring to order the business. It's time for the church to stop whining and start studying. Hallelujah. It's time for the church, amen, to stop loathing and start growing. It's time for the church, amen, to stop huddling and start getting busy doing the business of the kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Is threatened for the first time and it is, since it's been passed, and it is inevitable. Hallelujah. We are praying for it. We are fasting for it. Amen. There is judgment on the world. There is judgment on the United States of America. And there are going to be millions upon tens of millions of people that God is going to extract from this world as payment for the innocent blood that has been shed. But it's time to stop whining about all the innocent blood that's being shed, and it's time to go out there and stand in the gap and stop the mass murders that are going on in our world. To stop whining and saying there's nothing we can do. To stop running down Donald Trump. Well, you shouldn't preach in politics. Well, here's my Bible. Why don't you just start tearing out the pages that are in it that you don't like?
Oh, come on. Come on. All right.
Can I just be myself? We'll get back to the you know, the pretty sermons and being a little secrets and things like that. But sometimes we got to point out the dark spots. Hallelujah. Sometimes we got to point out the shadows.
Yeah.
Amen. The Bible says in God there is no shadow of turning. Amen. When you light a light and you hold it up against the wall. Amen. You take a candle, you take a match, and you light it and hold it up against the wall. You will never see a shadow come from that light. Amen. Because everywhere that it goes, it casts light. Amen. Shadows only fall on things and off of things that are dead or things that are just carnal. Amen. We need to let the light of Jesus shine again.
What time is it?
Shut up. I'm already in trouble. That's too late for that. You know, the same people that hate Donald Trump, you don't see them coming to church and say, "Boy, I really hate Nebuchadnezzar. Hallelujah." And boy, I really didn't like that King Ahasuerus. I mean, he was a real jerk. I mean, somebody should have took Nebuchadnezzar's cell phone away from him so he wouldn't tweet anymore. It's idiotic, the things that you hear. I never ran Barack Obama down on my Facebook page or anywhere. I never ran that man down. I can't remember one time ever talking derogatorily about him. I respected him because God put him in power and charge and authority, and I feared God, and so I kept my mouth shut because God put that man in authority, and God raises up kings and he tears them down. He raises up kingdoms and he tears them down. If I was afraid to speak out against Barack Obama, I can tell you that I'm just as afraid to speak out against Donald Trump, just as afraid to speak out against anybody with the last name Bush or Clinton or anyone that God allows to rise in power. Church, shut up and quit being a baby and get on your knees and call on Jesus, that the spirit of salvation and conviction would fall. When was the last time you got in the prayer closet and you said, "God, expose the darkness in the White House. Expose the evil and the sin in the Republican Party. Expose the evil and the sin in the Democratic Party. Expose the evil and the sin in the House of Representatives and the U.S. Senate. When was the last time you prayed that prayer? When was the last time you prayed, amen, that in the halls of justice, amen, that the name of Jesus would be spoken? I want to be a part of that crowd we've gotten in right now. Hallelujah, that have tags and that have international authority, that have offices in the United Nations, and they are United Pentecostal Church International preachers and pastors, and they pray with people, and miracles and signs and wonders are happening there today. They have church services across the street in that chapel where all sorts of filth and paganism and idolatry and devil worship are promoted, but there are men of God sitting at home saying, oh, what a terrible time our country is having. They're right there in that same chapel, and when they get their service time, they stand in the pulpit and they preach Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah. The Apostle Paul, he did. He went up, and the Bible says he went up to the Areopagus, and he stood there amongst all the idols, amongst all the statues, and amongst all the different religious sects and paganism of the world. And he said, I want to tell you about the unknown God. Everybody said, well, he didn't have very much success there. You need to go back and read your scripture again. It says, yes. They said, well, hear of you again about this. And they were deceived, and they'll stay deceived. But the Bible says there were some that heard the preaching of Paul at the Areopagus about the unknown God named Jesus. And they became believers and followers. And they're together today in eternity in the presence of the Almighty, hanging out with Abraham, hanging out with Isaac and Jacob, hanging out with Elijah and Moses, and they are resting in peace in the glorious presence of the Almighty, because somebody shined their light, because somebody said, I want to tell you about Jesus. I don't want to hurt your feelings. I don't want to make you feel ashamed. I'm not here to talk down to you, but would you let me tell you about this man, Jesus?
Yes.
Because of that, today souls are saved. Hallelujah. Let's stand together. Hallelujah. We were made to shine. When the church doesn't shine, the world cannot see God. When the church doesn't shine, the world doesn't know who the only God is. We are His ambassadors. We are His representatives. We are here to tell the world who God is.
Amen. Very well.
Jesus said they will see your good works. And because of that, they will glorify my Father in heaven. We're more worried about if Brother Bill Davis is going to get his guitar strapped on without tripping over the cord than we are about how this message applies to me.
That's right.
There are people in this church that are stirred up. There are people in this church that are tired of being the same. They are tired and sick and tired of their own mealy mouths and their own negative attitudes. And they are desperately hungry to get back to the way things are supposed to be. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. God's got things for you to do. He's got people for you to reach. And He gave you a light to show them the way to Him. And Jesus is that light. You like my theology? What good is theology if you don't know how to apply it to your world?
Right.
Now there was a Joppa, a disciple named Tabitha, which translated means Dorcas or dear. She was full of good works and acts of charity. Everybody knew who she was because she was shining her light. She became sick, maybe with some seaside sickness or disease, and died. They washed her body and laid her in a room in the upstairs of their house. And they called to the Apostle Peter. And he came and he prayed over her and he spoke to her and he said, "Tabitha, arise." And she awoke and he took her by the hand and presented her to the people. And it says in the scripture in Acts chapter 9 verse 42 that became known throughout all Joppa and many believed in the Lord. God wants to work miracles. You know why? Because he wants to save souls. God wants to heal people. God wants to give you gifts of wisdom and knowledge and insight and tongues and interpretation of tongues and prophecies and faith. He wants to give you administrations and operations and not just gifts. He wants not to just give you gifts of the Spirit and power. Amen. But he wants to give you the fruit of the Spirit. He wants that Spirit of power and love and self-control to be inside of us so that every day we're doing something that turns the hearts of the people towards God. This woman's life was a shining example of good works. Her tragic death and subsequent resurrection at the hands of the Apostle Peter served to be an even greater glory to God. And many more people put their faith in Jesus. I'm not here to put you down today, but the Lord told me to say this in the church. The problem with America is not America. The problem is not in Washington. It's not in Chicago. It's not in Springfield. It's not in the United Nations. The problem is in this church today. The problems are sitting on the pew. The problem is standing in the pulpit and sitting at these musical instruments. We always get into a lot of conversations about children, and I'm just in a few minutes from closing. Hold tight. And we talk about the problems that they have. But you know what the word is? You know the truth behind the problems that our kids have is? Truth is that the parents are always the problem. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, you don't understand my child. No, you don't understand your child. Don't mess with me. I'll throw that logic back at you so fast. That'll jack slap you and turn you and flip you and turn you around and you land on your back. Hallelujah, like the man that got KO'd at the heavyweight boxing championship last night. Flat on his back in the first round. After 1 minute, bam! The problem is always the church. Pray, Jeremiah told the Jews in exile, for the peace of Babylon and for the prosperity of Nebuchadnezzar. Pray! Because in their prosperity is your prosperity. We are inextricably connected in time to the pagan empires, to the governments in the cities of this world. The church has been networked and inextricably connected, inseparably unified, so that we will not be influenced by them, but rather we will begin to send forth white blood cells, T cells, hallelujah, Brother Danny, T cells that are empowered against the cancers of sin to go out into the body of the world, into our city, into our state and nation, so that the cancers of sin can be rooted out by the immune system that the church is empowered by God to send for. Amen. Not to attack itself, but to attack Satan's kingdom and bring it down. This book, Soul Psychology, Jeffrey H. Boyd tells this story about Patricia. She suffered from the effects of diabetes, a heart attack, and two strokes. She went blind, went into renal failure, which required dialysis, and had both her legs amputated, all while only in her 30s. She was placed in a nursing home. Except for those several times a year, severe times a year when she would have to be hospitalized, and frequently going into a coma for 1 or 2 weeks during those stays. Patricia was part of a church in Washington, D.C. that wanted to create a homeless shelter, and they could not find anyone with the leadership skills to pull it off. So she, in her condition, volunteered. In between dialysis and amputations and comas, she pulled together the team and got the zoning changes, architectural help, and fundraising all taken care of. She then helped the team figure out the rules for the homeless people who used the shelter, and she recruited and trained the staff who ran it. Can I add, from her office in the nursing home? When Pat died after the shelter's first successful year in operation, homeless people stood next to U.S. cabinet members, such as Secretary of State James Baker, at her funeral. She shined her light. I said, she shined her light. Paul said, we do not lose heart, though our outward self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. When we shine our lights, it directs people's attention to God. Hallelujah. Bradley, he gave a devotion to Soup Kitchen last week, and when he talked about stuck in my crawl, about Elijah and Moses standing next to Jesus and talking to you. Hear me preach that in my sermon then? I said, that was for your benefit. Hallelujah. There's a lot of things, folks, that are beyond our comprehension of God's kingdom and how he works. But one thing is for sure, while we're here, we have a job to do.
Amen.
Next time you get around somebody that's self-centered, selfish, having a pity party, you look at them and you say, God didn't put you here for whining. He put you here for shining.
Yes.
I want to shine, don't you? Lord Jesus, and I want us to just step up to the front real quick today. And just...